For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, Who is the House of Jacob? This is part two of the series.
Now, what happened at Mount Sinai? Did the God of Israel instruct Moses? Now, you take the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and put them on one side because I have a lot of commandments for them. It's going to take a lot of time to go over these commandments. And then did the God of Israel say to Moses, but the non-physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want you to put them on another side because I'm going to make things real easy for them. I only have two commandments for them, that they just love me and they love everyone else. Is that what happened? No. That is not what happened. The same commandments were given to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the non-physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. So in Numbers chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, it is written, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourns with you. That there's to be one ordinance for both the native born and the stranger is an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One Torah and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. Next, in understanding the way in which the Redeemer of Israel brought his people out of Egypt, we want to see that it was done by grace through faith. In Exodus in chapter 3, verse 21, it is written, I will give this people favor. The Hebrew word is chen. It is the Strong's number 2580, and it's translated in Genesis in chapter 6. In verse 8 as grace, where it says, Noah found grace or chen in the eyes of the Lord. So I'm going to give this people favor or grace in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. So the grace of God was present to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. But just because his grace was available, does that mean all those that were eligible actually did come out? And the answer is there were those who were eligible who did not come out of Egypt. Now, what the exact percentage was, our Bible doesn't tell us. But in the Midrash, which is the rabbi's commentary and teaching on the Torah, they say that only about 20% of those that were eligible to come out of Egypt actually did come out by putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Now, I don't know whether it was that exact percentage or not. The point is not that we know the exact percentage, but that the percentage was something less than 100%. So even though the grace of the God of Israel was present to deliver his people, God required another thing besides grace, and that is faith. And what was the faith that he required? Was that they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. The instruction to do so is given in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 and verse 7, where it says, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. So why was this an act of faith? For several reasons. Number one, Faith is obeying and doing what God says. And so obedience to the instructions shows faith. But secondly, in the Egyptian culture, lambs were regarded as Egyptian gods. So therefore, you may have a neighbor or someone in your neighborhood who regards the lamb that you're going to kill as one of their gods. And in their religious views, maybe it's offensive to them that you would be killing this lamb. So therefore, when you take the lamb into your house, kill the lamb, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, you better be sure that God said this is what you're supposed to do. So therefore, the children of Israel came out by grace through faith. Salvation or redemption by grace through faith then is a Torah concept. It is a concept that is established in the Torah when the God of Israel redeemed his people out of Egypt. Therefore, when we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That is not a brand new original New Testament concept. It is a concept that the New Testament affirms as being true that was first established in the Torah when the God of Israel brought his people out of Egypt. Now, I want you to notice the pattern of things. First, the children of Israel were saved by grace through faith, and then as an expression of being a saved and delivered people out of Egyptian bondage, that they came to Mount Sinai, and there at Mount Sinai, they were given commandments on how to live their lives on a daily basis as a saved or a redeemed people. Then in John in chapter 1 in verse 29, referring to Yeshua, it is said of him that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in response to Yeshua shedding his blood, being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Yeshua went on to say in John chapter 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The keeping the commandments is a response to being saved by grace through faith. Thus, we should be able to understand this truth as Paul himself affirmed in Romans in chapter 3 verses 28 through 31. Now, in Romans chapter 3 verses 28 through 30, it explains that both Jew and non-Jew are justified or saved by grace through faith. Romans chapter 3 verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith. So here, after Paul explaining that justification or being saved by grace through faith is the way in which the God of Israel saves both Jew and non-Jew, Paul then asked the question in Romans in chapter 3, verse 31. Do we make void? Make void means to do away with. Do we make void or do away with the Torah through faith? Well, if Paul did not answer the question, there could be element of doubt and we could debate the issue. But he answers his own question. How does he answer the question of do we make void the Torah through faith? He answers it this way. God forbid, we establish the Torah. We establish the Torah after we are saved by grace through faith. And we can see the outline of this principle as well in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now, after stating that we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 goes on to say, we are his workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Good works. When? After we are saved by grace through faith. And so the right way we are to live our lives is to obey the word of God, to love Yeshua, and to keep his commandments. Because Yeshua explained in Matthew in chapter 5 in verse 14, explaining to believers in him, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our light is supposed to shine before men to glorify our Father in heaven after we are saved by grace through faith, through the shed blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, when we repent of our sins and make Yeshua our Lord and Savior. So next, we are going to understand what happened in the history of the house of Jacob following the events at Mount Sinai. And ultimately, because of breaking the covenant at Mount Sinai, the house of Jacob was divided into two kingdoms, known as the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Now, we need to firmly understand that the name of Messiah's covenant family is the house of Jacob. And it was Jacob's name that was changed to Israel. We find this in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. It says, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And so Israel is a term to refer to Jacob and all those that refer to or belong to his family. And who is of the family of Jacob? The Bible refers to him as the house of Jacob. And the family of Jacob got divided in their history into Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. And so the Southern Kingdom referred to themselves as Jews after the name of the leading tribe of the Southern Kingdom, which is the tribe of Judah. And when we refer corporately to the Southern Kingdom, we are referring to the tribes of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin. Now, that is the case, even though in reality, there are members of all 12 tribes who are sojourning with Judah or the house of Judah. Then, if we look at the Northern Kingdom, the Northern Kingdom are Israelites. Why? Because they're of the house of Jacob. Regarding the Southern Kingdom, they are Jews. The Bible refers to them as the house of Judah. So all Jews are Israelites. Everyone of the house of Judah is of the house of Jacob. The house of Judah is referred to as Jews. All Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews, because we have Israelites, meaning those of the family of Jacob or the house of Jacob, that are of the Northern Kingdom. So being of the Northern Kingdom, they'd be of the house of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, so they would be Israelites, but they would not be Jews, because Jews refers to the Southern Kingdom. Now, the Northern Kingdom is also known as the 10 tribes. Scripture also refers to them as the house of Israel, Ephraim, the house of Joseph, in Samaria, because under the rulership of the first king of the Northern Kingdom, that would be King Jeroboam, he set up a capital in Samaria. And so when we're corporately talking about the Northern Kingdom, we're talking about the 10 tribes, and we're talking about those tribes that are not of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin. Those tribes, Judah, Levi, and Benjamin, being associated with the Southern Kingdom. But in reality, there are those from all 12 tribes who are with and are living among those of the Northern Kingdom. But those who are sojourning with the Northern Kingdom are not enough to be identified through their own tribal distinction. So that's why when we speak of, in general terms, about who's the Southern Kingdom, we say it consists of Judah, Levi, Benjamin. The other tribes would be the Northern Kingdom, or they would be of the 10 tribes. And so understand, though, that in reality, there's been an intermingling of all 12 tribes. But this is the way that we classify them on the corporate basis. Now, when those from the Northern Kingdom sojourn with those of the Southern Kingdom, they are referred to the name of the Southern Kingdom. That would be Jews or of the house of Judah. So if we're going to understand who is the house of Jacob, we need to understand Jacob's family and the distinction between Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. Because this is such an important point, let's reiterate that those of the Southern Kingdom who are Jews, they are also Israelites. So all Jews are Israelites, or all Jews are part of the house of Jacob. However, not all those from the house of Jacob are Jewish. The Northern Kingdom, they are Israelite, but they are not Jews. In the history of the Northern Kingdom, they were originally taken captive by the Assyrians. They were taken captive in three stages, and we read about the first stage of captivity in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 29, where Pekah, king of Israel, in his days as king, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and it says that he took various cities, and among them he took the Gilead and the Galilee and all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them away to Assyria. The southern kingdom was taken captive by the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar. In 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 10, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He ultimately took the Jews of the southern kingdom captivity into Babylon. Now, the first king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam. And in 1 Kings in chapter 12, we're told about a system of worship that Jeroboam set up that is likened or compared to what the children of Israel did in Exodus in chapter 32 in building the golden calf. And so, in effect, what Jeroboam did is he set up what is called in scripture as a golden calf system of worship. 1 Kings in chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29 is written, "Wherefore the king," that is Jeroboam, "took counsel from those around him, and he decided that he would not go to Jerusalem to keep the annual festivals, as is instructed in the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. And the reason is he was concerned that his people might show some allegiance to King Rehoboam, the first king of the southern kingdom. So as an alternative for his people, it is said that it is too much for you go to your Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So he set up two alternative places of worship. One was in Bethel and the other in Dan. Now, Bethel means house of God. Dan comes from the Hebrew word din, which means to be judged. I look at it this way. He called the places that he set up houses of God, but in the end, God was going to judge them. The book of Hosea is written to the northern kingdom. It explains to the northern kingdom the sins that they committed in breaking the Torah and the judgment that would come upon them, but it also prophesies of their eventual restoration. And as a part of this restoration, it entailed believing in Yeshua as Messiah and then ultimately being united with the house of Judah or the southern kingdom. And to represent or to personify this judgment, we have for us that a marriage took place between Gomer and Hosea, as we're told in Hosea chapter 1 in verse 2, where the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord." And so we're told about three children in Hosea chapter 1 that is born from this marriage. And the names of the children are prophetic of the judgment that would come upon the northern kingdom. Let's look at the names of the children. The first one in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 4 is called Jezreel. Now, Jezreel in Hebrew means God will sow or God will scatter. That the northern kingdom was going to be scattered into the nations of the world. In doing so, he was not going to show them mercy. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 6. The second child is named Lo Ruhamah. Lo in Hebrew means not. Ruhamah means mercy. So the second child is called no mercy because it says in Hosea 1:6, "I will have no more mercy upon the house of Israel." And then the name of the third child is Lo Ami. Lo in Hebrew is not. Am is people. Ami is my people. So Lo Ami is not my people. So it says in Hosea chapter chapter 1, verse 9, called his name, Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Well, the judgment of the northern kingdom then is he's going to sow or scatter them, intermingle them amongst the nations of the world, and in doing so, they will lose their understanding and their identity regarding who they are. They would lose the identity and the understanding that they are from the northern kingdom. They would take upon themselves the identity and the ways of the people that they're living among and who they intermarry with. And so this is going to be the judgment upon the northern kingdom. And when the God of Israel says regarding this judgment of Jezreel being sown or scattered, that along with this, that he's not going to show them mercy and they're not going to be his people, that is not good news. And that is a way of saying that he cut them off from the covenant. But in cutting them off, we can see an association as a result of breaking the covenant in Jeremiah in chapter 11 in verse 16, that the branches were broken. But there is a prophecy found in Hosea in chapter 1 that's good news, and it's a prophecy of redemption and restoration. That prophecy is found in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. Yet, what does yet mean? Even though no mercy and not my people, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. Well, when you see the phrase, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, what comes to your mind? What should come to your mind is those are the words that were promised to Abraham, that his descendants would be as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the sea. So, linking the thought together, we are being told that the way in which the God of Israel is going to fulfill his covenant promises to Abraham is going to be through this judgment of the northern kingdom, where they are going to initially have the status of no mercy, not my people. But then we're going to see, if we continue reading the prophecy, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, it will come to pass that in the place where it was said, you are not my people, where is it said, you are not my people? Right here. That it will be said in the future, in future generations, from not my people, it will be said, you are the sons of the living God. So this is a prophecy that physical descendants of the northern kingdom would become believers in Yeshua as the Messiah. John chapter 1 verse 12, it is written, as many as received him, as many as believed that Yeshua is the Messiah, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So from being cut off, no mercy, not my people, they were going to be restored through the redemptive work of the Messiah. And in believing and receiving Yeshua as the Messiah, they would have the status of being a son of the living God. That's going to be the first step in the redemption. First, to be a son of the living God. And then following that, we have the prophecy of Hosea in chapter 1 and verse 11, that then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Who's the one head? It's going to be the Messiah. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So the prophecy is that the northern kingdom first would be called sons of the living God. And following that, there would be the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Well, that's going to conclude part 2 of the series on the subject, who is the house of Jacob? Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.